O Lord God, most holy, who has made yourself known to us in Jesus, have mercy upon us this day. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, you drew near to us, showing us truth and grace. By your Spirit's work in us, draw us now close to you and make us able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great, and to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
New Testament text for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses. Hear the word of God. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, tomorrow, January 6th, is Epiphany. That is, I think, the 12th day of Christmas. And that means it will be the last day of Christmas season. That's why we're taking the decorations down today. Epiphany is an ancient, though now minor, holiday of the church. In the earlier days, in the 3rd and 4th centuries, Epiphany was one of three major festivals, along with Easter and Pentecost. It was far more important than Christmas which wasn't really even celebrated then, and not until about the 5th century. But things have changed. Few people send out Epiphany cards. I confess that I've sent Epiphany letters, but only when I was too late getting the Christmas letter out. What made Epiphany such an important day in the life of the church? Why might we want to pay any attention to it? Epiphany is the day that we celebrate the showing forth of the Lord Jesus. The word Epiphany comes from the Greek word, which means manifestation or showing forth. And so this word and this day were originally associated with the baptism of Jesus, which of course was one of the days when God did clearly show forth who Jesus was and the special nature of this child or this man. It still has that association in the Eastern Church. But later, in the Western Church, we came to associate Epiphany primarily with the coming of the wise men, or the Magi, and the showing forth of Jesus, the very glory of God, not just to Israel, but to persons of the Magi, the rest of the world. For as John 3:17 declares, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And that's consistent with what God told our ancestor in the faith, Abraham, in the covenant recorded in Genesis 12, verse 3, where he tells Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So who were the Magi? We really know very little about that. We know that they came from the east. We know that they came in response to a star. And that's really about it. But we know also that they were the first Gentiles to believe in Jesus. Legend or tradition says that there were three Magi. That probably comes from the fact that there are three gifts mentioned in the story, three mentioned in particular, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Legend also tells us that the kings or the wise men or the Magi were named Melchior, Balthasar, and Caspar. What did they see? What was shown forth at the end of their quest? They saw the glory of God. Hebrews 1:1-4 tells us, "In many and various ways God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs." In many and various ways, God spoke. To the Magi, God spoke by means of a star that pointed them to his Son, Jesus. In the Son, they saw the glory of God and the very stamp of his nature. We sometimes forget the mystery, the breadth, the majesty of the glory of the Christ child. In our emotional attachment to the notion of that warm fuzziness of the baby Jesus, we can lose sight of the glory. If that happens, it dims our view of God and of his world, and most especially the good news concerning his Son. Among other things, we sometimes forget the wonder of God's including us in at all. It seems to us natural that Jesus should be our Savior, but it came as a great surprise to those who knew most what God had said. Here's where Matthew's account of the journey of the Magi to Bethlehem via the guidance of the star comes in. Right at the very beginning, while Jesus is still a little child, Matthew makes the point that God breaks through all the barriers that there might have been to his saving work. He surmounts racial, cultural, religious, and moral barriers to his saving work in Jesus by calling to the Son those whom he considered most, or those whom others considered most unworthy. The Magi entering the picture as remarkable walking illustrations of God's grace. God says, I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say not to not my people, you are my people, and he shall say, you are my God. That's from Hosea chapter 2. In order to really understand what this means and how amazing it is, remember that the Magi were men who could be found somewhere pretty far down the line on a continuum that runs from all-out sorcery on one side to true wisdom on the other. At least by Old Testament standards, they were pretty iffy characters. They were stargazers, for certain, which means they had a detailed knowledge of astronomy. And at that time, you could not separate a knowledge of astronomy from astrology. In other words, the Magi saw the stars and saw a correlation between the movement of the stars and the message of the stars. In Israel, many would have viewed the Magi as magicians and idolaters, men like Simon Magus that we find in Acts chapter 8, and Elymas Bar-Jesus, the Magos and false prophet of Acts chapter 13. God had, after all, some pretty tough things to say about astrologers. So when the Magi show up to show forth the glory of the one born King of the Jews, it's ironic indeed. Of course, it is possible, it's even probable, that these men had some knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures, because in the days of the exile, the Babylonian captivity, many of the best and the brightest of the Jews were spending a good bit of time there in Babylon. But even more ironic is how God used a star. A star is the supposed stumbling block. But that's what God used to lead the Magi, these idolaters, across miles and miles of country to the Christ child. Imagine that, God using the very thing that is identified as the biggest bad deal about astrology as his tool in bringing the Magi to Jesus. By way of contrast, at the very same time, those who had the scriptures to guide them all along cannot, or at least will not, cross the region or even the town to acknowledge the presence of Jesus. Once again, those who should have known, those who should have been the most diligent in seeking the coming Messiah missed the boat. They had become complacent. They must have thought that they knew what to look for. They must have thought that they would recognize the signs. And even when the Magi asked, and they had to go look it up in the book to see where the child was to be born, and they didn't get up and go with the Magi. They waited for them to come back and report. Such complacency toward God and toward those made in his image is a sure sign of laziness and of pride and of short-sightedness. And these led the Jewish leaders to a deadly combination of inability and unwillingness to see Jesus. On the other hand, with the Magi, there is the humility that evidences itself in a hunger for true knowledge and encounter with the revealed Lord. The humble determination to seek this child, no matter what the journey required, is the evidence of and the key to seeing God as he really is. Such hunger and striving will not be disappointed, for such is the evidence of God's call, of God's prevenient or preceding grace. The account of the Magi offers a wonderful opportunity for modern American Christians to consider where we fit in the story and in its current day extension. We're invited to consider that the astounding story of God's leading foreigners via a star to the place where the Christ child lay is actually our own story. People in the United States in 2014 have ancestors who came from God only knows where. Their lives contain all kinds of assumptions and practices that make others scratch their heads in puzzlement. Could it be that people as exotic as us have been led across mountains, rivers, seas, plains, interstates, to the place where the child lay? Can it be that people like us now honestly claim to know and be known by God's Son? We've had the Bible to lead us and the prophetic voice to instruct us. We have had every opportunity and advantage to ease our journey. Like the Jewish leaders at the time of the Magi, if there are any people who should know and be known by Jesus, it would be you and me. Still, we need to take the attitude of the Magi, the humble determination to seek. No one else can find the Christ child for us. It's no good to send someone else on the mission, on the journey, expecting them to return and give you the easy way to follow the roadmap, to tell you what your star to follow might be. With all of our advantages, we must still realize the need for the journey. The Magi account assures us that God is at work in the world and that His grace is pervasive and powerful. When those of us who are Christians read about the Magi, we should recognize not only in the account of these foreign magicians, but perhaps even more so in our own stories, an account of what has been called humanity under the power of grace, or by another description, life under the mercy. May God in His mercy grant to each of us eyes that are open to see and hearts that are open to apprehend and to receive this one who brings the glory of God to us. And may we, by His grace, have in common with the Magi that call from God, received in that humility that shows a real hunger for an encounter with Jesus. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory and comes to meet with us in our Lord Jesus Christ.